Day 3. The next day, bathed, well-fed, and well-rested for the first time since her capture, Shai received a knock at her door. They'd given her a room. It was tiny, probably the most drab in the entire palace, and it smelled faintly of mildew. They had still posted guards to watch her all night, of course, and, from her memory of the layout of the vast palace, she was in one of the least frequented wings, one used mostly for storage. Still, it was better than a cell. Barely. At the knock, Shai looked up from her inspection of the room's old cedar table. It probably hadn't seen an oiling cloth in longer than Shai had been alive. One of her guards opened the door, letting in the elderly arbiter Gautona. He carried a box 2 handspans wide and a couple of inches deep. Shai rushed over, drawing a glare from Captain Zhu, who stood beside the arbiter.
"Keep your distance from his grace,"
Zhu growled. "Or what?" Shai asked, taking the box. "You'll stab me?"
"Someday I will enjoy—"
"Yes, yes," Shai said, walking back to her table and flipping open the box's lid. Inside were 18 soul stamps, their heads smooth and unetched. She felt a thrill and picked one up, holding it out and inspecting it. She had her spectacles back now, so no more squinting. She also wore clothing far more fitting than that dingy dress, a flat red calf-length skirt and buttoned blouse. The Grands would consider it unfashionable, as among them, ancient-looking robes or wraps were the current style. Shai found those dreary. Under the blouse, she wore a tight cotton shirt, and under the skirt, she wore leggings. A lady never knew when she might need to ditch her outer layer of clothing to effect a disguise. "This is good stone," Shai said of the stamp in her fingers. She took out one of her chisels, which had a tip almost as fine as a pinhead, and began to scrape at the rock. It was good soul stone. The rock came away easily and precisely. Soul stone was almost as soft as chalk, but did not chip when scraped. You could carve it with high precision, and then set it with a flame and a mark on the top, which would harden it to a strength closer to quartz. The only way to get a better stamp was to carve one from crystal itself, which was incredibly difficult. For ink, they had provided bright red squid's ink, mixed with a small percentage of wax. Any fresh organic ink would work, though inks from animals were better than inks from plants.
"Did you steal a vase from the hallway outside?"
Gautona asked, frowning toward an object sitting at the side of her small room. She'd snatched one of the vases on the way back from the bath. One of her guards had tried to interfere, but Shai had talked her way past the objection. That guard was now blushing. "I was curious about the skills of your forgers," Shai said, setting down her tools and hauling the vase up onto the table. She turned it on its side, showing the bottom and the red seal imprinted into the clay there. A forger's seal was easy to spot. It didn't just imprint onto the object's surface. It actually sank into the material, creating a depressed pattern of red troughs. The rim of the round seal was red as well, but raised, like an embossing. You could tell a lot about a person from the way they designed their seals. This one, for example, had a sterile feel to it, no real art, which was a contrast to the minutely detailed and delicate beauty of the vase itself. Shai had heard that the Heritage faction kept lines of half-trained forgers working by rote, creating these pieces like rows of men making shoes in a factory.
"Our workers are not forgers," Gautona said. "We don't use that word. They are rememberers."
"It's the same thing."
"They don't touch souls," Gautona said sternly. "Beyond that, What we do is in appreciation of the past, rather than with the aim of fooling or scamming people. Our reminders bring people to a greater understanding of their heritage."
Shai raised an eyebrow. She took her mallet and chisel, then brought them down at an angle on the embossed rim of the vase's seal. The seal resisted. There was a force to it, trying to stay in place. But the blow broke through. The rest of the seal popped up, troughs vanishing, the seal becoming simple ink and losing its powers. The colors of the vase faded immediately, bleeding to plain gray, and its shape warped. A soul stamp didn't just make visual changes, but rewrote an object's history. Without the stamp, the vase was a horrid piece. Whoever had thrown it hadn't cared about the end product. Perhaps they'd known it would be part of a forgery. Shai shook her head and turned back to her work on the unfinished soul stamp. This wasn't for the Emperor. She wasn't nearly ready for that yet. But carving helped her think. Gautona gestured for the guards to leave, all but Zhu, who remained by his side.
"You present a puzzle, Forger," Gautona said once the other two guards were gone. The door closed.
He settled down in one of the two rickety wooden chairs. They, along with the splintery bed, the ancient table, and the trunk with her things, made up the room's entire array of furniture. The single window had a warped frame that let in the breeze, and even the walls had cracks in them. "A puzzle?" Shai asked, holding up the stamp before her, peering closely at her work. "What kind of puzzle?"
"You are a forger. Therefore, you cannot be trusted without supervision. You will try to run the moment you think of a practicable escape."
"So leave guards with me," Shai said, carving some more.
"Pardon," Gautona said, "but I doubt it would take you long to bully, bribe, or blackmail them."
Nearby, Zhu stiffened.
"I meant no offense, Captain," Gautona said. "I have great confidence in your people, but what we have before us is a master trickster, liar, and thief. Your best guards would eventually become clay in her hands."
"Thank you," Shai said.
"It was not a compliment. What your type touches, it corrupts. I worried about leaving you alone even for one day under the supervision of mortal eyes. From what I know of you, you could nearly charm the gods themselves."
She continued working.
"I cannot trust in manacles to hold you," Gautona said softly. "As we are required to give you soul stones so that you can work on our problem. You would turn your manacles to soap, then escape in the night laughing."
That statement, of course, betrayed a complete lack of understanding in how forgery worked. A forgery had to be likely, believable, otherwise it wouldn't take. Who would make a chain out of soap? It would be ridiculous. What she could do, however, was discover the chain's origins and composition, then rewrite one or the other. She could forge the chain's past, so that one of the links had been cast incorrectly, which would give her a flaw to exploit. Even if she could not find the chain's exact history, she might be able to escape. An imperfect stamp would not take for long, but she'd only need a few moments to shatter the link with a mallet. They could make a chain out of relcalest, the unforgeable metal, but that would only delay her escape. With enough time and soul stone, she would find a solution. Forging the wall to have a weak crack in it so she could pull the chain free. Forging the ceiling to have a loose block, which she could let drop and shatter the weak relcalest links. She didn't want to do something so extreme if she didn't have to. "I don't see that you need to worry about me," Shai said, still working. "I am intrigued by what we're doing, and I've been promised wealth. That is enough to keep me here. Don't forget, I could have escaped my previous cell at any time.
Ah, yes, Gautona said. The cell in which you would have used forgery to get through the wall. Tell me, out of curiosity, have you studied anthracite? That rock you said you'd turned the wall into? I seem to recall that it is very difficult to make burn.
This one is more clever than people give him credit for being. A candle's flame would have trouble igniting anthracite. On paper, the rock burned at the correct temperature, but getting an entire sample hot enough was very difficult. I was fully capable of creating a proper kindling environment with some wood from my bunk and a few rocks turned into coal.
Without a kiln? Gautona said, sounding faintly amused. With no bellows? But that is beside the point. Tell me, how were you planning to survive inside a cell where the wall was aflame at over 2,000 degrees? Would not that kind of fire suck away all of the breathable air? Ah, but of course. You could have used your bed linens and transformed them into a poor conductor, perhaps glass, and made a shell for yourself to hide in.
Shai continued her carving, uncomfortable. The way he said that. Yes, he knew that she could not have done what he described. Most Grands were ignorant about the ways of forgery, and this man certainly still was. But he did know enough to realize she couldn't have escaped, as she said. No more than bed linens could become glass. Beyond that, making the entire wall into another type of rock would have been difficult. She would have had to change too many things. Rewritten history so that the quarries for each type of stone were near deposits of anthracite, and so that in each case, a block of the burnable rock was quarried by mistake. That was a huge stretch, an almost impossible one, particularly without specific knowledge of the quarries in question. Plausibility was key to any forgery, magical or not. People whispered of forgers turning lead into gold, never realizing that the reverse was far, far easier. Inventing a history for a bar of gold where somewhere along the line someone had adulterated it with lead, well, that was a plausible lie. The reverse would be so unlikely that a stamp to make that transformation would not take for long. "You impress me, Your Grace," Shai finally said. "You think like a forger." Gautona's expression soured. "That," she noted, "was meant as a compliment."
"I value truth, young woman, not forgery."
He regarded her with the expression of a disappointed grandfather.
"I have seen the work of your hands, that copied painting you did. It was remarkable, yet it was accomplished in the name of lies. What great works could you create if you focused on industry and beauty instead of wealth and deception?"
"What I do is great art."
"No. You copy other people's great art. What you do is technically marvelous, yet completely lacking in spirit."
She almost slipped in her carving, hands growing tense. How dare he? Threatening to execute her was one thing, but insulting her art? He made her sound like one of those assembly line forgers churning out vase after vase. She calmed herself with difficulty, then plastered on a smile. Her Aunt Sol had once told Shai to smile at the worst insults and snap at the minor ones. That way no man would know your heart. "So how am I to be kept in line?" she asked. "We have established that I am among the most vile wretches to slither through the halls of this palace. You cannot bind me, and you cannot trust your own soldiers to guard me."
"Well," Gautona said, "whenever possible, I personally will observe your work."
She would have preferred Frava. That one seemed as if she'd be easier to manipulate. But this was workable. "If you wish," Shai said. "Much of it will be boring to one who does not understand forgery."
"I am not interested in being entertained," Gautona said, waving one hand to Captain Zhu. "Whenever I am here, Captain Zhu will guard me. He is the only one of our strikers to know the extent of the Emperor's injury, and only he knows of our plan with you. Other guards will watch you during the rest of the day, and you are not to speak to them of your task. There will be no rumors of what we do."
"You don't need to worry about me talking," Shai said, truthfully for once. "The more people who know of a forgery, the more likely it is to fail. Besides," she thought, "if I told the guards, you'd undoubtedly execute them to preserve your secrets." She didn't like strikers, but she liked the Empire less. And the guards were really just another kind of slave. Shai wasn't in the business of getting people killed for no reason.
"Excellent," Gautona said. "The second method of ensuring your attention to your project waits outside. If you would, good captain."
Zhu opened the door. A cloaked figure stood with the guards. The figure stepped into the room. His walk was lithe, but somehow unnatural. After Zhu closed the door, the figure removed his hood, revealing a face with milky white skin and red eyes. Shai hissed softly through her teeth. "And you call what I do an abomination?" Gautona ignored her, standing up from his chair to regard the newcomer.
"Tell her."
The newcomer rested long white fingers on her door, inspecting it.
"I will place the rune here," he said in an accented voice. "If she leaves this room for any reason, or if she alters the rune or the door, I will know. My pets will come for her."
Shai shivered. She glared at Gautona. "A blood sealer? You invited a blood sealer into your palace?"
"This one has proven himself an asset recently," Gautona said. "He is loyal and he is discreet. He is also very effective. There are times when one must accept the aid of darkness in order to contain a greater darkness."
Shai hissed softly again as the blood sealer removed something from within his robes. A crude soul stamp created from a bone. His pets would also be bone. Forgeries of human life crafted from the skeletons of the dead. The blood sealer looked to her. Shai backed away. "Surely you don't expect—" Zhu took her by the arms. "Nights, but he was strong." She panicked. "Her essence marks. She needed her essence marks. With those she could fight, escape, run." Zhu cut her along the back of her arm. She barely felt the shallow wound, but she struggled anyway. The blood sealer stepped up and inked his horrid tool in Shai's blood. He then turned and pressed the stamp against the center of her door. When he withdrew his hand, he left a glowing red seal in the wood. It was shaped like an eye. The moment he marked the seal, Shai felt a sharp pain in her arm where she'd been cut. Shai gasped, eyes wide. Never had any person dared do such a thing to her. Almost better that she had been executed. Almost better that— "Control yourself," she told herself forcibly. "Become someone who can deal with this." She took a deep breath and let herself become someone else. An imitation of herself who was calm, even in a situation like this. It was a crude forgery, just a trick of the mind. But it worked. She shook herself free from Zhu, then accepted the kerchief Gautona handed her. She glared at the blood sealer as the pain in her arm faded. He smiled at her with lips that were white and faintly translucent, like the skin of a maggot. He nodded to Gautona before replacing his hood and stepping out of the room, closing the door after. Shai forced herself to breathe evenly, calming herself. There was no subtlety to what the blood sealer did. They didn't traffic in subtlety. Instead of skill or artistry, they used tricks and blood. However, their craft was effective. The man would know if Shai left the room, and he had her fresh blood on his stamp, which was attuned to her. With that, his undead pets would be able to hunt her no matter where she ran. Gautona settled back down in his chair.
"You know what will happen if you flee?"
Shai glared at Gautona.
"You now realize how desperate we are," he said softly, lacing his fingers before him. "If you do run, we will give you to the blood sealer. Your bones will become his next pet." This promise was all he requested in payment. "You may begin your work, forger. Do it well, and you will escape this fate."